It's been days of horror on the Indonesian island of Sulawesi after an earthquake and tsunami struck over the weekend. Waves as high as 18 feet hit the city of Palu, where hundreds of people were gathered for a beachfront festival. More than 800 people are confirmed dead, and the number is expected to climb. Joining us now is Timothy McLaughlin from The Washington Post, and he's in the city of Makassar, where relief efforts are being coordinated.
Today, I spent a few hours out at the airbase here in Makassar, where there are some military planes, as well as commercial aircraft that people have loaned to be used to fly supplies and people up to Palu now that the airport is at least like partially open. I would say from the few hours that I spent out at the airfield today, the efforts have been a bit chaotic and disorganized. And I think that the people that we interviewed and spoke with today, things have gone a bit slower than they anticipated. We met a few individuals who have been out, you know, sleeping outside of this kind of old airbase since Saturday, trying to make it back. And they've been put on wait lists, but there's been some kind of miscoordination, I think, and some miscommunication over when exactly flights were going to leave and how many people could go on them and how exactly you get your name on the list. So this morning, there was just a couple hundred people kind of crowded outside the gates as names were kind of read aloud through a loudspeaker, people kind of hoping to get onto those flights to get home to find relatives. Most people still having a lot of trouble getting in touch with people from the city due to communications infrastructure being pretty severely damaged. And then in terms of the death toll at the moment, the newest stats from the government put it at 844 people. But the reporting we've done and the understanding is that those deaths are predominantly, if not all, from Palu City. And there has not been counts done of people from outlying areas, from other districts or regencies, rather, that have been impacted. So aid agencies and the government expecting that number to rise significantly, I think, within the next few days.
Can you help us understand exactly what happened? What we're hearing is that there were folks who were gathered in Palu for a beachfront festival, and there were tsunami warnings put out by the government. But was the situation that those warnings were not taken seriously, or were they insufficient?
So I think there's a lot of questions that the government will probably have to answer about that. It seems very unclear at the moment if the tsunami system, there's been a number of issues in the past over the upkeep of the system and funding for it. So yeah, I think, you know, what happened was the original earthquake and then a lag time before the tsunami kind of swept in, and also this very kind of interesting but also devastating phenomenon called liquefaction that you might see some people reporting on and talking about, and the emergency agencies here talking about it. And essentially what happened was like a lot of the loose soil kind of near the top of the ground loses its strength and starts to kind of collapse. So some of the videos you've seen, you know, people have seen kind of going viral, seems like houses are getting kind of swept away, but there's no water there. It's just the land itself is kind of rushing out from underneath them. So a lot of the houses and villages were kind of almost engulfed by the ground itself. I think that's also hampering the relief efforts, is that a lot of this stuff is like quite buried, and a lot of individuals are also buried. So there's some difficulty in getting to those people and to those villages that have kind of almost been like overtaken by the soil almost, as odd as that sounds.
How much is this a reflection of whether or not Indonesia was prepared to deal with a natural emergency of this scale?
You know, the location, you know, on the Ring of Fire, I guess, here is, earthquakes are not, you know, uncommon at all. I think if you pull up some of the, you know, historical maps and some of the ones that have been being posted and passed around, see that there's, you know, huge history of this. So yeah, in these are natural disasters that do happen here with a high frequency. So I think that the government's going to have a lot of questions from the people here over, one, if they're prepared, and two, how they react when these things happen.
Timothy McLaughlin is with The Washington Post, and he joined us from the Indonesian city of Makassar, where relief efforts are being coordinated. Thanks, Timothy.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.